flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
No matter where you're listening across the DMV right now, this is the song that you're hearing as the Commanders prepare to take on the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game. Fight for old DC. Last time Washington was in the NFC Championship game, it was 1992, the 91 season into 92, and Mark Rippon was their quarterback. He is going to join us coming up at 5:30. But right now, a man who was in Detroit last Sunday, and he's going to be there on the call this Sunday, a very special edition of Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Joining us now, he's the voice we'll be hearing as we're all watching this weekend. Kevin Burkhart from Fox Sports with us here on The Hoffman Show. KB, you've known you're going to call this game for a long time. You obviously find out the participants with everybody else, but I mean, just how do you make sense of the fact that it's the Washington Commanders as one of the two participants, given, you know, where we were a year ago as I was having you on the show to talk about them hiring Dan Quinn, a first-year head coach, and all the journey that it's been for Washington to get here?
Yeah, I mean, look, I know when we talked a year ago, I told you how much I like Dan Quinn, I like that hire, and I think he's done what he's always done, right? He's instilled this culture, and he's got guys that really play their tails off, and then they happen to draft a quarterback who is a star. So it's been a nice little confluence of events, but that's essentially where they're at. So, look, if you would have asked me 2.5 months ago, would I be surprised? Yeah, of course. You know, consider the Lions and Philly and where they rank. But, you know, watching how they played really since that Week 16 comeback against the Eagles, I'm not. I mean, they're playing really good ball. They're playing the best ball of the year right now, and Jaden Daniels is absurd. So, I think it's, you know, look, right now it's the two best teams the way they've been playing, so we'll see how it goes down.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Of course, 3 o'clock this Sunday on Fox, you get Kevin, you get Tom Brady, you get the whole crew. When you sit down with Jaden in these production meetings, or you have the calls and all the stuff you guys do to prepare, is there another guy in the league? Because, I mean, the benefit of what you've been able to do for a couple of years now, being at the very top of the pecking order, well-deserved there at Fox, is like you get to talk to – you get great games every weekend. You get to talk to the best of the best. Is there a guy that Jaden reminds you of as you sat down and talked to him earlier in the year or in the process of getting ready for this game?
You know, to be honest, this is the first time we had him was last week, so I hadn't talked to him at all. I mean, I talked to people around him, and I obviously watched him in his interviews, but that was the first time I met him last week. And so that was great. First of all, I get a chance to do that. As far as who he reminds me of, it's a good question. I don't know if there's anyone that comes to mind right away about who he reminds me of. He's got this relaxed, quiet confidence. You know, he is really down to earth and smart and polite, but you tell and there's a vibe there and a confidence there. And I think that's what shows on the field. You know, we had this shot last week when, I mean, he was tearing it up and we went to shot on the bench and he's sitting there and you couldn't tell whether he was in an NFC divisional game or in a library. Like he's so cool. He's so cool in these moments. So yeah, personality wise, no one jumps off the page that he reminded me of, but you know, playing wise and his poise and his demeanor has really been something to watch.
I hadn't thought of a perfect comp for him, or not a perfect, but a really good comp for him on the demeanor stuff. You know, there's like a little Mahomes there, whatever. But like the other day, Rich Eisen said Roger Federer. And I was like, oh, that's the one. Like, you just see him do some of the craziest stuff you've ever seen. And then he just doesn't look like he's broken a sweat at all. And, you know, as you're calling the game, and you said it's you and Tom up there for the first time seeing him last weekend, and he's doing some of the stuff that he's doing. Like, what are the conversations like as you guys go to commercial and you guys are talking about just what you're seeing as he's just putting touchdown after touchdown after touchdown on the board in that second quarter?
Yeah, well, we had a conversation about exactly that, right? Because obviously, like, you know, Tom can break down every play, and he did. He was talking about some of his aggressive decisions against the blitzes and things. But I said, oh, there's a point in the game, and I just said, what do you think about his poise? And he was just really impressed. Like, you know, and the cool thing about Tom is he's not impressed, like, easily. He's not like every player in the league is great. Every play is great. He loves the league and he loves football, but, you know, as you can imagine, from quarterback play, it takes a little bit to impress him, and he was impressed. And I think that's been the thing. I mean, you know, you can talk about so many things about Daniels, but his accuracy, his decision-making, but his poise, like in those moments, in the blitzing moments, in the fourth down, it's never too big and too fast for him. And that's why nothing would surprise me. You know, I mean, the way he handled the end of the game, his first playoff game in Tampa, just so cool and calm in that whole last-minute drive. And, I mean, they had no answer for him last week. You know, when they ran that triple option, it was pretty hard to contend with. And, you know, we'll see this week. Third time against Philly. First game, you know, they weren't as successful and he had a hard time. Last game, obviously, he was off the charts, 5 touchdowns. So I am kind of fascinated to see how it all goes down. But I don't think there's anybody in the league playing, you know, as well as he is right now. I know that.
Kevin Burkhart, Fox Sports, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So one of the, you know, you just mentioned how calm and cool he was against the blitz. One of the things that I think is really fascinating about the Philly matchups this year is the lowest blitz percentage that Jaden faced all season was the Week 11 matchup against Philly. Philly then decided, after that worked so well, to blitz him at the second highest rate they blitzed anyone this year in that second matchup. Knowing, you know, having called a bunch of Eagles games and knowing Vic Fangio and kind of what they have done to different teams over the year and over the years, do you have any early lean about how you think that they'll attack Daniels after Tom was imploring Aaron Glenn to stop blitzing last week?
Well, I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, look, you know, Vic Fangio is the master at adapting, you know, not only in from matchup to matchup, but also in game, right? So I think the way that he was heating up in that game just kind of called for it to make something happen. And also the fact that Jalen Hurts was injured, I think he probably just felt like the need to make something happen. And, you know, like he has for every other blitz, Jaden Daniels played well against it. So I'm fascinated to see how they're going to play him this week. And I think the same thing goes for Cliff Kingsbury. How is he going to react to that? You know, and I think when you look at it, basically for 6 quarters, the Eagles played really good defense against them. And for 2 quarters, Daniels shredded them a little bit. So I don't know. It's a fascinating matchup. We know the narrative, though, is that the Eagles don't want to let up the big play. They're the best in the league at not allowing the big plays. In second half of that game, they finally allowed some. So to me, that's the story. Can you, A, be patient enough to just deal with what they're giving you and go down the field and possess the football? And I think Washington can, because that's what they've done the last 2 weeks. That's kind of what they've had to do to win, and hold the ball and be patient and march down the field and take their time, if you will. And I think they need to do the same thing here. I don't see them going into this game getting 10 explosive plays on the D. I just don't see it. So I think the way that they're going to win is the way that they won last week. They put 45 points on the board. Now, look, they had big plays last week. I'm not saying they're going to have none. But I think their patience and their willingness to possess the ball and keep the Eagles' offense off the field. And then when the explosive opportunity comes, maybe against a blitz or a blown coverage, well, then obviously we can take advantage of it. Great. But I think it's the same formula for them. And we'll see how, you know, both sides react.
Yeah, getting to that game script against the Eagles has been so hard. They've trailed for like 5 minutes since mid-December. I think since they lost the Commanders game. I think they've trailed for like 5 total minutes or something ridiculous. And speaking of explosives, I want to get to Saquon in a second. But one other guy I wanted to ask you about for when Washington has the ball. Can you remember a story quite like Zach Bonds? A guy in a first year at a new position that is legitimately an all-pro?
A guy that, you know, really was a special teams player, occasional pass rusher. And then he comes here and they move him inside where he hadn't played. And he's not only an All-Pro, but he might be the Defensive Player of the Year. He was voted a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? It's also a pretty cool story on having an eye for talent and giving guys a chance and not to get, you know, put into certain corners in their careers. I mean, he's legit. He's a freak. I mean, he's a big guy who could flat out fly. He's got great instincts. So it's pretty amazing. It's not a fluke. I think he just got put in the right spot. And, you know, that happens a lot. But he is legitimately awesome, Craig. There is no fluke about it. He's put in the right position and the right defense and, you know, playing somewhere that no one ever thought to play him inside. Now, he'll get his pass rush reps and things like that, but he is a total all-around package and it's the real deal. It's been a cool story.
Yeah, that speed for him is amazing. All right, to the Saquon of it all, because on the other side of the ball, it does seem on some level that simple. Can the Commanders be the team that held Saquon to like 40-something yards on 21 carries in the back, let's say, three quarters of that last Week 16 matchup? Or are they the team that gave up 107 yards and two touchdowns on the first seven carries or whatever those numbers were? What's your bet this weekend of how the Commanders attack it and what kind of success they might have?
Well, look, I think you look at this. Here's how you look at this, right? No one has stopped them all year, and I really don't think that's changing. I think the reality is this. You don't want them running for 225 on you, and I think if you really load up everybody and try to load the box and just give every effort to stop them, at some point, A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith are going to kill you if you do it, right? So you have to find a way. I know the passing game hasn't been big in these playoffs, but the reality is that's not how they win right now. They win by getting ahead, you know, having their number one defense control the game, and then crushing you with Saquon in the second half. That's how they win. So can Washington get a lead, force them to go into the pass game a little bit? I think Washington, your goal is to not have Saquon have 200 yards and have three touchdowns over 40 yards. I think that's the goal. You know, you keep him to 100 yards and, you know, the big plays minimal, I think that would be a win-win. But I think the issue is everyone's saying, oh, the pass game for Philly is not good. Like, I think it can be good. You know, I just think the way they're winning is Saquon. So, I mean, do you want to have an effort to contain him while not singling A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith the entire game? Because I don't think that's a great formula either. So, you know, it's delicate. The Eagles are, it's amazing. Like 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, they were the Jalen Hurts show, right? Well, they are now the number one defense in the league, and it's Saquon Barkley's team. The narrative has changed on them.
Yeah, I would rather lose with Jalen Hurts beating me at this point than with Saquon beating me. But I guess if you lose, then you still lose. With Jalen, last thing for you, Kevin. Like, you know, when you watch him now, and like you're watching the tape back from last week, the game back from last week, especially after he got folded up on, like, does he look like a different guy? Because the numbers suggest there's something that's not right there. He's not even pushing the ball down the field, nevertheless being effective while doing it. Do you see the same guy that you've covered since that 2022 magical run, or does he seem a little bit off to you for whatever reason right now?
I think if you just look at the overall pass numbers and say, man, they're way down. Well, it's because they're running back at 2,000 yards. You can't do everything in one game. Now, I will say this, Craig. You know, I think it is a big factor whether he can move around on Sunday, you know, because, you know, when you look at Saquon's greatness and the Eagles' offensive line, which is the best in the league, you know, the other part of that is having the threat that Jalen Hurts can pull it and run like he did against the Rams last week for 40-plus yards and a touchdown. That's the threat. So if you take away that threat that he can't do that, and I don't know if he can, you know, with that left knee that you got bent back, you know, that changes things a little bit. That's one less thing you have to worry about in your preparation and in your aggressiveness and flying to the ball. So I think in some way, you know, I would think Washington would try to find out that answer early in the game and see exactly what he's capable of moving around with the football. Because if they don't feel he's able to move like he normally does, I think that changes how they go about making calls on the defensive side of the game. So to me, I think that's going to be really interesting early how they look and how they play Jalen Hurts.
I totally agree. Kevin Burkhart, be with Tom Brady, Tom Rinaldi, and Aaron Andrews Sunday in Philadelphia on Fox for the NFC Championship game. Kevin, always appreciate your time, sir. Have a great call and enjoy the heck out of it this weekend.
Greg, you're the best. We'll talk soon, man. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, sir.
Hey, this is DA, and you're listening to The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6 o'clock, our pick six at 6. Before that, at 5:30, Mark Rippon, Super Bowl 26 MVP, with us to talk about Jaden Daniels doing the thing that he did back in the day, leading Washington to the NFC title game, and hopefully Jaden can follow in Mark's footsteps and lead the Commanders to the Super Bowl. I mentioned that pick six at 6 because we pick six players on Fridays that we think are going to have an outsized impact in the game, non-quarterback division. And I almost, Anthony, decided to pull a bit at 6 o'clock today. And you said, no, I want to stick with the regular pick six because you had some guys in mind. You've been thinking about it. You had a week off last week. I had to do the pick six all by myself. Crushed it, by the way. But I was like, what if we just took all the players that Shane and Oxon Hill mentioned and his famed, are we really a better football team without Jahan Dotson call? For those that don't remember, for those that aren't diehards, for those of you that are new to the show, welcome. We have a lot of fun here. We think that we have some of the best football analysis that we can offer. We have great guests. And we may not take as many calls as other shows, but when we do, we get some good ones and some bad ones that are so bad that they in fact become legendary. None more famous than on the day that the Commanders traded away Jahan Dotson. Yes, Jahan Dotson. Caller Shane from Oxon Hill. Let's just say he wasn't a big Adam Peters fan.
The guy had 11 touchdowns over the past 2 years. Terry McLaurin has 9. Olamide Zaccheaus had 10 catches last year. Diami Brown had 100 yards last year. Are we a better team without Jahan Dotson? No, we're not. So stop.
And you would think, baloney, you would think that would be enough. But it gets so much worse.
No, we're not. So stop all the baloney, man. We traded Montez Sweat, and now we have Cleveland Furl, who had 2 sacks, and Dante Fowler, who had 2 sacks. We have Austin Eckler, who is 30 years old. Like, come on, bro. Kendall Fuller is in Miami. Curtis Samuel is in Buffalo. Cam Curl is in with the Rams. And we have a guy, Adam Peters, who's bringing in bums, and everybody's like, oh, just because we're bringing in new faces mean we're better.
Yikes. Anthony, should we go through name by name? It's one of my favorite things.
The call gets better and better when you listen to it back.
It somehow has just aged. Like, this call in sports radio lore. I'm not a wine guy, but like, there's some like 1942 Cabernet that LeBron has that this call is becoming. Hit play again, Anthony.
The guy had 11 touchdowns over the past 2 years.
Terry okay, so that's about Jahan Dotson. And then what did you say about Terry?
Past 2 years. Terry McLaurin has 9.
Oh, let me. Terry McLaurin, what did he do this year on the touchdown front, Anthony?
Is he at 13, 15?
He's 14? At 15 now. In the regular season, he had 13. Oh, 13. That's the new franchise record.
Yeah.
Olamide Zaccheaus had 10 catches last year. Diami Brown had 100 yards last year.
All right, let's pause there. OZ's had some monster games this year. Also, he messed us up for the whole year. I just, in part, call him OZ, not Oz, like Cliff did. Not that white guy mistake. But I'm like, wait, what is his name? Olamide, is that, you know, because how does he say it again?
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Yeah.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Olamide Zaccheaus. Just, we're going to call him OZ, because Shane messed up what is correct in my head. By the way, Diami Brown, not Diami Brown. Diami Brown had 98 yards in a playoff game last week. Next.
Are we a better team without Jahan Dotson? No, we're not. So stop all the baloney, man. We traded Montez Sweat, and now we have Cleveland Furl, who had 2 sacks, and Dante Fowler, who had 2 sacks. We have
all right. Dante Fowler had how many multi-sack games this year? Probably 2 or 3.
He had several.
Yeah. Dante Fowler's been fantastic. Furl's been okay. But you want to know what neither of them cost? The $26 million a year the Bears are paying Montez Sweat. Next.
We have Austin Eckler, who is 30 years old. Like, come on, bro.
How's the Austin Eckler signing going? Is he arguably one of the four most important offensive players this year?
Super dynamic.
Like, he's been their explosive play go-to outside of Terry. He had two explosives last week in the divisional round playoff game. They won on the road in Detroit to get them to the NFC Championship game. Next.
Kendall Fuller is in Miami.
So they've got Mike Sainer still now, who had two picks last week. Marshawn Lattimore's on the other side. That one, in Shane's defense, there was a bit of some consternation about the corner position this year. But I don't think Kendall Fuller was awesome in Miami. They kept Kendall. That would have been fine. But no one's confusing him with the world beater at this stage of his career. But who else did they let go that was irreplaceable?
Curtis Samuel is in Buffalo.
Curtis playing some good ball in Buffalo, kind of ish. He shows up about once every 4 weeks, which is kind of the Curtis Samuel bit. Like, he's real dangerous all the time. You have to account for him all the time. It's just he's not super consistent. I don't know that he was the world's best blocker either. And that seems to be an important thing about how they get down here, how they do business here. I don't think he fit the mold for what they wanted here in D.C. And, again, the playmaker thing, they've been all right on that front. Who's next?
Cam Curl is in with the Rams.
Oh, Cam Curl last seen taking a bad angle on Saquon Barkley on that last 70-yarder. I think Jeremy Chin's been just fine. Who would you rather have had this year, Anthony? Cam Curl or Jeremy Chin?
Definitely Chin.
Yeah, I think so. Especially because I think Cam Curl got a decent deal from L.A. Chin's on a bargain basement deal here in D.C. And they might have to pay him next year, but at least they know he fits in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what he's about. They know he brings a physicality and a versatility that is exactly what Dan Quinn wants. Anybody else?
And we have a guy, Adam Peters, who's bringing in bums, and everybody's like, oh, just because we're bringing in new faces mean we're better.
I'm not going to say Michael Davis is a bum because I think that's disrespectful. Michael Davis didn't work out. That's about the only thing they did in free agency that didn't work out. You can argue their draft class is worse than their free agency class. The problem with arguing that is Jaden Daniels was a part of the draft class.
Man.
So stop all the baloney, man. We could have done the entire pick six with people relative to Shane's call.
Yeah.
But now we don't have to because we just did that instead. It's the gift that keeps on giving, everyone. Mark Rippon. I'm sure he's thrilled to follow that. Mark Rippon, the Super Bowl 26 MVP, is next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And it is our pleasure now to welcome to the show the man who led the Commanders on the field the last time Washington was in the NFC Championship game. 1991, of course, was the year he went on to win Super Bowl 26's MVP. Mark Rippon is with us here on the Team 980. Mark, pleasure to have you, sir. Welcome to the show, and thanks for some time today.
You're welcome, Craig. Yeah, it's pretty surreal that it's been this two more days. It'll be the 26th of January, 1992. January 26th, 1992 was a big game, and it's kind of weird that 33 years later, we're back in the hunt again, and almost to a point where it's like, what the heck happened?
Yeah, well, that question, I'm sure there'll be a 30 for 30 documentary and all those kinds of things on. For right now, we just get to focus on the first return since that 91 season. As you said, 92, the year that the game actually takes place. What do you remember from the NFC Championship game that year and that run in the playoffs leading up to the Super Bowl?
Well, I think you got to go all the way back to Joe Gibbs, you know, and when he's coached this football team. He lost his first, I think, six games, and he didn't even know if he was going to be a part of this organization after that. And Mr. Cook stuck with him, and thank goodness, because there's not a greater man, a greater coach that I've ever played under than Joe Gibbs. And I would have to say that, you know, one of the things that you have to understand, Craig, is, and you're kind of a younger generation, is that the bar was set very high. You know, getting into the playoffs, in especially I was the latter of all the three guys, Joe and Doug and myself, that anything but going to the playoffs was considered in Washington a failed season.
Sure.
You know, we had high expectations. The bar was very high. And then getting to the playoffs, anything other than going deep in the playoffs also is one of the things that we looked at. So we were went to 4 Super Bowls in 10 years, and that's pretty impressive. And we won 3 of them, and with 3 different QBs, and you know, that's been documented. And so it's was a great era for football and in the DMV. And I was the last of the dinosaurs. It was also the last of free agency. There wasn't free agency, so we were fortunate enough because of that. We did things on and off the field together, you know, as families and in the community and charities and all that. We stayed around there because it meant something to us to be in that area, in that neighborhood, and win football games. And so it was just an incredible year. You know, it started off, you know, Tony Kornheiser had the bandwagon articles going early, you know, 4 or 5 games in. We hadn't lost yet. Then about 6 games, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Then it took Dallas to give us a little breath of wake the heck up and beat us at home in a close game to kind of rejuvenate and reset our clocks and go back to work and do what we did set out that year to do. And that's when a world championship.
So I'm so glad you mentioned the history there and your place in it for the younger audience that may not be quite as familiar as someone who does this. I've done a little bit of research, Mark. So I prepared to ask you this question because Jaden has guys like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz and Austin Eckler, and specifically Zach and Bobby, veterans who have been there. You, as the last of the 3 quarterbacks that won under Joe, you had some guys that had Super Bowl rings, and you were there in the background of the middle championship. So what did that experience mean, and what do you think it's probably meant to Jaden to have someone like Wagner around, someone like Zach Ertz on his offense to help guide him through this season?
Well, there's no doubt that helps, and I just knew that all these players, that guys, and there are probably 30 of them that had world championships and you know, had pedigree to for the big game and had been in big games before. So that part of it was very rewarding because you knew that you weren't just by yourself and on an island. Everyone thinks that this team from where they were last year, obviously, you know, with the only 4 wins, to come back and do what we did this year was certainly incredible. But there's a lot of guys, you know, that contributed to that. Jaden has just been played at such an exceptional level. But I know in the back of his mind, knowing that he's got a core of veteran guys that have been to big games and played in big games, you know, and, you know, Bobby playing for a Legion of Boom, and, you know, Dan Quinn having coached in a Super Bowl and leading the Legion of Boom, and, you know, and having Zach Ertz playing Super Bowls and making plays for, you know, for so many years, it really helps to know that you're not alone, because you got some of those guys, but you don't have the core of guys that I had that I could knew that you know, you could rely on. So it was pretty cool to see, you know, what Jaden's been able to do. There was a stretch there where he was banged up a little bit. We lost 3 straight games, and I think that was more attributed to his, you know, some of his inabilities physically to do things because of his being, you know, on men for the rib injury that he had early in the season. So, but we know what he's been able to do, and we know that when he's got the ball at the end of the game, especially these last 7 weeks, what's happened. And it's been nothing but phenomenal, and you just can't think of enough adjectives to use when you talk about Jaden Daniels, because he's held on to the football. He's made great plays. He's been a leader on and off the field. He's a wonderful kid to be around, and playing for a team that has very, very excited about where they're at, very, very versed on knowing where they're going. I think that's all kind of been predicated by the culture that Dan Quinn has brought in. The ownership group, you know, with Josh Harris, Gabe Harris, his brother Josh, you know, Mark Ein, Mitchell Rails, and Magic Johnson, and the ownership group, to Adam Peters and the administration group, and what they've been able to do to put a team out there and it's competitive, and then just to kind of believe in one another. That culture that Dan has brought in here is second to none, and I think that's kind of was always the case when I was in Washington. You had a great culture because you're expected
to go out there and then do these types of things. Now these guys are expected to play well. They trust in one another. They trust in each other, and they're just doing it at a very, very high level, and it's been fun to watch.
Mark Rypien is with us, Super Bowl MVP and Washington legend, here on the Hoffman Show. Did you have any early interactions? Because I know you're not around the team a ton, living on the opposite coast, but you know, you come back for Legends events and things like that, and you've had a little bit of time around Jaden, a little bit of time with the ownership group, et cetera. Was there something where you were like, okay, they got this right? Was there a story or a moment that it clicked for you that you were like, wow, they got a chance here because they're doing the things that we did that make a team special?
You know, it's not that I really did get a chance to sit down. I met him, you know, a couple of times and just in high and, you know, just excited to watch him play and those types of things. I think he's kind of done it on his interviews. He's done it, you know, on the sidelines and, you know, even kicking the game winning field goal against the Bucks, you know, that he's just kind of calm, cool, and collected there, you know, just his demeanor and what he says and how he goes about his business and how he has such a great work ethic and how he trusts in his players and how he believes in what they're doing. Just, to me, told me everything I needed to know. And then, you know, to know he's a faith-based guy that, just loves the game of football and plays for, you know, these moments. We knew we had the right one.
When you look at Jaden as a player, Mark, Kirk Cousins, I don't know if you saw this, when he was guesting on ESPN the other week, he talked about Pat Mahomes, and he's like, sometimes I watch and I just go, there's no way that guy plays the same position as me. When you watch Jaden and the way that he's able to act as a dual threat, and you think of how the quarterback position was largely played in your career, like you had 127 rushing attempts in your entire career. Jaden had 148 this season. Like, is it like, how do you try to process that? Is like, this is the team I love, this is the sport I love, but this is not the same thing that I used to do.
Well, it just adds a different skill set for sure. You know, I mean, Jaden's been able to do it in timing. You know, I mean, he's probably one of the best rhythm passers out there
for sure,
and gets a lot of credit for that too. But you know, their offense is totally different, and it's kind of the change of the NFL, the change of the guard, you know, to RPOs and some of the things that they're doing and that they're asked to do. You know, he's a smaller figure, obviously, and it's only probably 190, 195 pounds, but he is amazing at being able to duck and get away from danger and understand that we need him out there on the field, you know, and that, you know, RG3 had a lot of those skill sets too. And it was so sad to see him get injured, you know, because that was one of his attributes, is that he was able to extend plays and make things happen that others couldn't. So Jaden does that on a daily basis. He's got a great rapport with Cliff Kingsbury, and they're just worked magically together, and they have an understanding of what they're trying to do. And he does these virtual glass things that I've never seen, but I wish they would have had some of those things just to maybe kind of get an idea of, you know, that next level, you know, player that is out there and how they're using technology to enhance themselves and what they're trying to do. So it's been fun to watch. It's really been exciting to see him do the things that he's done. A lot of times you'll get something like this and you'll think, oh, well, guys, you know, learned a lot of these things through mistakes. Well, he hasn't made many mistakes, you know, that's right. The crazy part about it. You know, it's not like he's, and there's been games they haven't punted before. So, I mean, it's like, what the heck? You don't see this normally. This is an anomaly in ways that, you know, only he and that group inside believe in, because you would never think of that. You know, in my era, you know, if you talk to all those guys, Danny Marino, John, and Randall Cunningham, and all the fellas, they would think that, this is a different type of football, and it's really entertaining. Obviously, the rule changes help in some regards to what they're doing, but more importantly, it's incredible to see that, you know, he's not throwing 15, 20 interceptions and learning from those. He's, you know, making one bad play maybe every four games, and then just consistently makes plays week in and week out. So it's pretty awesome.
It has been a lot of fun to watch. You've clearly been paying attention as Mark Rypien is with us here on the Hoffman Show. So as you put your analyst hat on, Mark, for the game this weekend, what do you think is the most important thing for Washington to do to come out victorious and return to where you got back in 91-92 and get back to the Super Bowl?
Well, I'd like to say, you know, it's get off to a good start, but they, you know, when I was legend of the game like 5 weeks ago for the Philly game, we were down two scores right off the get-go. And we came back and kept the game close and all the way to the end where we took the lead. They took the lead back and we came and won it at the end. So nothing that will surprise me. You know, I mean, you'd like to take the fans out and get off to a great start. But if it doesn't happen, we also know that we can you know, come from behind. So he's re-energized this whole fan base. I think our defense has been re-energized knowing that we got a guy that we can – trust, and I think the last half of the season, all the way to the end of the season here, our defense has been one of the catalysts that have helped propel us too to bigger and better things. And they're playing at a very high level and keeping opponent scores down and allowing us to do the things we do offensively to win.
So I'll wrap with this then, Mark, as Mark Rypien with us for one more question here on the Hoffman Show. What's it meant to you personally to see this fan base get re-energized for probably some connections to go back, you know, some of your former teammates that are maybe a little more interested in being around after this, the 30 years of darkness that was the Dan Snyder era? What has it meant to you to see this all happen this year, this way with this group? And, you know, I guess that all happening through your lens.
Well, kudos to the group of guys that have made that happen, you know, to the culture that Dan Quinn has brought in there, to Adam Peters, the ownership group, and to the players. More so the players as far as just going out there and winning the, you know, winning the trust back of this fan base that has just been salivating to have a year where we get to the playoffs, but not just years where, you know, we've been to some playoff games, you know, over the last 33 years, not many. But it's been like, okay, we're going into the playoffs, you know, and not like, hey, we're going in to go deep into the playoffs. We got an opportunity. We're going to set a culture here now that we're not going to change. And as long as we have number five and some of the core guys that we have defensively and offensively come back year in and year out, this is a team that I think could be like the Kansas City Chiefs, the Eagles, the Bills, and, you know, that year in and year out we're in playoffs and we're vying for NFC championship games and Super Bowls. So it starts this week, and it just, you know, if it does, then hey, we're going right into Super Bowl and trying to win another one. If it doesn't, we learn from this and we get better and better, and each and every year that we'll be a contender, we'll be there on when it comes the playoffs, and we're going to be a force to reckon with for years ahead.
From your mouth to the football god's ears, Mark. Mark Rypien, Super Bowl 26 MVP with us here on the Hoffman Show. Mark, an absolute pleasure to chat, and hopefully we got much more to chat about over the next couple of years as this run continues.
Sounds good, Craig. Appreciate you.
This is the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Our pick six is six, coming at 6 p.m., because that's the whole idea behind the pick six at six. It's at 6. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We try to make sense here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Stream live on YouTube. You know the drill by now. I was just perusing Instagram in the break, Anthony, and in the pick six, we're not going to directly talk about Jaden Daniels because we say it's too easy to pick the quarterback. So it's the top six players on a Friday that we think are going to have a big impact outside of the quarterback. But I was perusing Instagram, and I just saw Tom Brady on his podcast that he does with SiriusXM, the Let's Go podcast, that he made a comparison of Jaden to Tiger Woods in the 97 Masters, where he's talking to Jim Gray, who's the co-host of the show, and he goes, you know, how do we measure poise? Like, how do we measure confidence? And when Tiger got to the 1997 Masters, nobody knew that he was ready for that moment. But if you looked back, it made all the sense in the world, because if you watched him play in like the U.S. Amateurs and all the other big tournaments he had played in, like, he would destroy people, and it was always him versus him. And I feel like Jaden very much has that approach, which is interesting, I think, on a couple of fronts. And we've heard it now, you know, obviously Tom's partner, Kevin Burkhart, joined us earlier on the show and remarked how Tom was like, man, this kid's something different when he watched him and the poise that he played with in Detroit on Saturday night. high-end eagle who's been calling the biggest sporting events in the NFL and the NBA for 30, and college basketball for 30 years. And he joined us and talked about how the poise, and everyone just talks about the poise. But I think, like, that almost underrates the skill, because if you are poised as all get out and you shoot 18 over par, then nobody cares. Like, oh, he didn't win the tournament, but he looked really calm and relaxed the whole time. He never blew up. He never threw a club. Okay, cool. Good job, not Tiger Woods. Like, the poise helps you get the absolute best version of yourself. And this is kind of the conversation we had with Ian, right? Is, I think at this point, it's fairly clear that Jaden probably would have been pretty good anywhere. Like, his work ethic would have only allowed him to fail so much. By the same token, this is going to ruffle some feathers, but it's only amongst the worst people on the internet, so I don't care. If Drake May had been drafted here, I think Drake May would have been pretty good here, because I think the infrastructure here is really good. But I don't think Jaden would have been as good somewhere else, and I don't think Drake May would have been as good here, because the infrastructure meets the person, meets the player, and you get the maximal result. And what we're getting here is like the best version of what could possibly happen, which is why this has never literally happened before. And I just think that's pretty cool and worth pointing out. And I thought Brady's analogy kind of put that into focus for me, because, yeah, Tiger Woods in 1997 in the Masters was crazy, and the focus he had and the him versus him, that attitude is great. But like, if he got out there and was like, oh my God, this course is hard and these other dudes I'm playing with are good, then, and he's not, he doesn't have the skill to match it, you never get the confidence in the first place. And so, like, it's a chicken and egg thing, but it's worth pointing out that if everyone's talking about the chicken, there's still the egg, which is Tiger was really good at golf and Jaden's really good at football.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's also probably just crazy just because it's happening to a DC, you know, sports team. We don't have those things, you know, happen too often. You got Alex Ovechkin.
You've had so many young, we actually have had a lot of young stars here, if you think about it, though.
Yeah. But
right, you got, now, have they all panned out in championships?
Yeah.
Championship, no, for sure. Ovi's got the one. And, like, I think if you ask a lot of Caps fans, you probably should have had more over his career. What he's doing now is insane. Who knows? Maybe they'll get another one this year, the way they're playing. You know, Harper and Strauss. Strauss gets one. Harper leaves before he does.
Yeah.
I mean, Trinity Rodman on the Spirit side of it, what mm-hmm. she's doing. By the way, she's still younger than Jaden is.
Which is crazy.
That's bananas. Bananas. And I really hope she's not about to leave, because apparently Chelsea and Arsenal are after her and they're going to pay a lot of money. So please have those rumors not be true. But like, there have been young superstars in this city. I mean, John and Brad are on a different level, like level down, all due respect to those dudes. They were electric and super fun to watch. 2016 is a thing that Wizards fans will never forget. But like, they weren't generational.
Yeah, that's more so like what I'm getting at. I feel like people like the LeBrons, like you just gotta allow those players to, you know, take the world by storm, and we're finally like seeing it. Like, we actually have one of these kinds of people in our own backyard, so it's just,
yeah, special.
Exactly. You just gotta take it in like all at once, like with him, like it's crazy. Like, we actually have one of those guys. Like, we have a Patrick Mahomes here in the city. We have a Joe Burrow here in this. Like, we have one.
Well, especially at that position for this franchise. Yeah. Because, like, the legend of Gibbs is that he did it with three different dudes.
True.
Like, Sonny's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, and there's been a couple of others, like, if you go back in history, Chris Berman style. But, like, the best quarterback in the league being in Washington, even when they were great and won Lombardis, was not what was happening. Mm-hmm. And so this is wholly unique in the history of, not wholly unique, wholly unique in the modern history of the franchise, you know, since the NFL merger, basically, that this is happening. And Lucky us. Here we are getting to talk about it. And of course, what are we going to do with that great fate? We're going to talk about everyone else. Although inevitably, a lot of the guys we're about to talk about, there'll be a Jaden angle to that too. Our pick six at six, NFC Championship Game Edition, is next.